Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. This is your brother Elohim. We're live today, as we are every Sunday. I couldn't make my Mac show yesterday. We were having a family birthday party. Well, I think it's a very good idea. That's when we get together and have one party for everybody's birthdays in that month, you know? And it gives us a chance to see each other once a month instead of at weddings and funerals, you know? And so it worked out pretty good yesterday. I enjoyed myself. I had a nice time. So I do want to give a shout-out to the birthday people yesterday. It was my older brother, my two sons, my two nieces, and my nephew. I wish them a happy birthday as well, you know. Now, we always thought of our topic, we're talking a little bit about love, because love is very important. And, my goodness, yeah, excuse me, it's been a long day. So what we're talking about is love. Love is the act that makes others feel good. I want you to remember that because that's important. When you first get together as male and female, you know, every act that you did was to make the other person feel good. That created an emotional bond between the two people, which we call love, okay? So the actual love was the acts that you committed towards each other. So what you need to do as time goes on, don't change those acts. Once you change those acts, something changes in a relationship. And you've heard people say, well, I don't know who this guy is. He changed on me. You weren't the guy I met, or you weren't the girl I met when we first got together. I don't know where this person came from. So getting a person with a good act is the actual love, all right? So you need to keep that going on. The way you treated each other in the beginning, you need to keep that going on all your lives. And you'll stay together forever. And you'll have a pretty good relationship, okay? Now, the topic for today, it's very interesting, is we're talking about Black history. And there are so many things that we have to listen in Black history that they make sure that we're not taught, okay? And the other part of the conversation that we're going to go into is what's the difference between prayer and meditation? Somebody asked that question last week. So I thought I'd throw that on the table and we'll talk about that for a little bit, okay? Now, just bear with me for a minute here. I'm a little beat up. It's been a pretty long day, but we're going to keep the conversation going. We're going to talk. We're going to let you know what's happening, okay? Now, as far as Black history is concerned, 90% of all the inventions came out of the Black community. You said, oh, my goodness, can that be true? Yes, it does. A friend of mine, he says that the only thing that the Europeans invented was a patent office so they can steal other people's inventions. I thought that was pretty interesting because we're producing 90-something% of all the inventions that this country enjoys came out of the Black community. You know, we're going to mention just a few, okay, just to make you aware of some of the things that have been done that we don't know about, you know, that mainstream media don't really let us know about. You know, we're talking about even down to the syringe, the little syringe you put in your arm to give yourself medication and all that. That was done by one of yours. You know, we're talking about the cockpit that was the most sophisticated machine at that time in history, in the United States history, was done by one of yours. I think his name was Colonel Gregory. I might not mention all the names of all the inventors, but you can look them up, you know. And we also had Christine Darwin. She solved the sonic boom thing that was on the planes. You know, when you fly the planes at a certain rate of speed, they make that noise. And they call that the sonic boom. And she actually solved that problem. She also solved the de-icing problem with the on the wings on the plane as well. You know, so she was pretty good. I think it was Christine Darvin. Some things you don't know, like Einstein, he had 8 black mathematicians working with him. And as far as the mathematics for the atomic bomb, Einstein didn't come up with that. That was one of yours. In fact, they were so elated over what he did, they took him to Washington and gave him a presidential award for his inventions of that mathematical genius, you know? That was just something that you don't know. The doggone telephones. this guy Bell didn't invent the telephones. All of telephones was invented by a black guy, you know? It was invented by one of yours. All of the telephones, okay? Was invented by one of yours, you know? We're talking about Alexander Graham Bell. I don't know. I wonder if Alexander Graham Bell was white or black. We wouldn't know, would we? They don't really give us the information that we need to back up and to do what we're doing. But this person invented all of the telephones. And a lot of the resistors and stuff they use in most of electronics today was also done by one of yours. I'm just giving you a few examples. Well, we had a brain surgeon with the Separate Siamese Twins. We all know who that is about right now because he exposed his true identity. Black man by the name of Ben Carson. Everybody know who Ben Carson is now because of his political affiliation with Donald Trump and some of the things he's doing in the political arena. Now, a lot of you don't know this, but the actual subway, you know, was invented by a black person as well, you know. We got Madam C.J. Walker, you know what she did. They advertised her as a straightening comb. She had a vegetable grease. She's the one to come up with the vegetable grease, okay? Now, also, we're going prime time now, so we're going up against all of the major networks and all the stuff that they have going on out there between the movies and the dinners and everything else that people are out there doing, you know. So, those that do call in, we appreciate you spending the time with us, you know, and hopefully we can gain something for each other from this experience, okay? Also, you had the, I got a list of things here. Louis Latimer, he's the one that come up with the light bulb. They blame it. They're giving Thomas Edison credit for that. They take credit for other things. Even though they don't be inventing all this here stuff, you know? Now we have the steamship lubricator that was invented by his name was McCoy. He used to call it the real McCoy when everybody was everybody wanted his particular machine. He used to call it the real McCoy because his worked so very well. And they did come up with a TV sitcom called the Real McCoy, some hillbillies or something, but that has nothing to do with the inventor whose name was McCoy. Okay. So there was a lot of things that black folks invented that they're not mentioning in the schools. Whereas, how about the toilet, you know, invented the toilet, the stoplight. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. And they're not teaching none of this stuff in school, and they're ducking. Some of the main things that they're ducking, too, we're talking about those inventors were done in the 20th century, but we're talking about some of the main things that they're ducking or trying to relate it to somebody else because they do not want to give black people credit for nothing. I'm telling you. Whatever you come up with, whatever you have, they want to take it from you. This is what they've been doing. We're talking about the 1%, those who are ruling the country right now. You know, most of them are Europeans, so white. So just to give you an understanding of what's going on and what's happening out there, right? Now, the object is to dumb the children down so that our children have low self-esteem. And as to what's going on, you know. They're giving, even in our music, they do the same thing in our music, talking about Elvis Presley, king of rock and roll, and no, he wasn't, you know. Benny Goodman, the king of jazz, no, he wasn't. You know, they just give themselves credit for everything. We come up with rock and roll, we come up with jazz. They change the name to rock and roll now. We don't have rock and roll, they have rock and roll. We have rhythm and blues now. They just took over a genre that recreated, you know. Pretty soon, rap is not going to be done by black folks. They're one of the greatest rappers in the world, or white folks in a minute. And this is what they've been doing throughout your history. And this is very important. It's also important to know that a lot of the slaves that were here actually knew how to read and write. They just couldn't read and write English. You know, they didn't know this language. They weren't illiterate at all. Yeah, master builders come through here, you know. George Watson Carver, he's a master scientist. Benjamin Banneker, he's a master mathematician. This guy laid out the Washington, D.C., you know. I mean, that's how powerful these guys were. And that's just the tip of the iceberg, you know. Once you get into what we have actually done or created or built, it will amaze you. Also, when they got here, everybody wasn't running around living in a teepee. We had cities here when they got here. They never mentioned none of the cities in that the blacks had when they got here. I'm saying when they got here, okay? In fact, Chicago was set up by black folks, and I was set up by white folks. So it's Louisiana was set up by them as well. So they have a very strong habit of making sure that we don't get anything at all, don't know anything at all, that they keep us out in the dark about who we are and some of the things that we've actually set up. Okay. Now my commercial. I'm gonna be running a commercial today because I don't have the commercial information in front of me. So. We're just going to keep on going through what we're talking about, okay? Now, the next thing that we're going to get into is we're going to go from Black History Month. We're going to somebody posed a question to me, and I thought I'd throw the question on the table, you know? That's how we can talk about it for a minute. What is the difference between prayer and meditation? And that's a very interesting question that was asked by one of our naturopathic doctors at their home. I don't have any information as well. So I hope maybe they'll call in like they do most Sundays and I can get him to give you this information, okay? Also, Dr. Paul is another naturopathic doctor that I have on my speed dial. Okay, unfortunately, I can't go into the speed dial right now. But so what I'd like to talk about right now is the, let's talk about meditation. Okay. Meditation is when you focus your thoughts. This is good for oral repair. You know, it's been a long day. This is good for oracle repair. Now, they have given us wrong information again about the oracle. They're trying to relate it to some guy or some man, the great oracle of Delphi and all that stuff. They want to relate everything to themselves, you know, whether it's truthful or not. And they need to really cut that press out because they got, when we come out and start telling you about black people this and black people that, you make it seem like we're actually pumping ourselves up, but we're just giving you the truth, telling you what's going on and telling you what's up, okay? So now, the oracle is a dimension between the mind and the brain. You know, for those who are in tune, the mind is connected to your spiritual body. The brain is connected to your physical body. Yes, you have two different sources of information. Well, not actually sources of information. The brain is not actually a source of information. It's, it can be used as a source, but the brain is like a computer. It logs everything in, writes everything down, and keeps a memory of what you're going through in your life and what happened, okay? So we need to think about what I'm saying, all right? Because you got a lot of mentally, so-called mentally ill people out there, but if they would just meditate, they would be able to balance the information coming in from the mind to the oracle, through the oracle into the brain, and it would give them a better sense of balance. That's what meditation is for. I recommend what I call focal meditation. Focal meditation is when you look at a spot on the wall, right? And you go through that spot, and you don't think in terms of a spot. You think in terms of you're looking at this wall. What's that material made out of? What's the wall made out of, you know? How did they get that material to your house? Who put the material up on the wall? How did they make the material? Where did the material come from? You know what I'm saying? Did it come from trees or paper? Then you have to get into, well, how is paper made? And on and on and on, like the wall might be nailed to wood. Now, where does the wood come from? If you got panel in your house, you have to ask yourself, how did they make the panel? How did they make those sheets, those strips? You follow what I'm saying? Growing up the wood, how can they keep the wood coming year after year, generation after generation? So this is what we call focal meditation. This type of meditation regulates the oracle as to what type of stress that your synaptic nerve can handle, what type of information, what type of energy, because when this information comes in, it's coming into you as energy. And through your synaptic nerve, which is electrical, it regulates this energy going into the brain so that the brain don't overload. This is what your oracle is for. And if the oracle is not regulating the energy properly going into your synaptic nerves, then that creates a problem. Because it will actually overload your brain, and your brain will be seeing too much at one time, and you'll be confused. You won't know which way is up, which way is down. And the whole, the computer, what they call the brain, which would be slowed off, okay? So this is what meditation is for, all right? Now, let's talk about prayer for a minute. Let's get into what prayer actually is, okay? We have Christ consciousness. Now, the Egyptians know about this Christ consciousness, okay? They had the term Christ written on all the mustabas. So they knew about this Christ consciousness, because this Christ goes all the way back to the beginning, right? Let's go back to the beginning. Let's do that for just a second. When we go back to the beginning, I'm using the Bible as a base, all right? So those of you who are into the Bible, you'll be able to follow me a little better than those who aren't. But I'm using the Bible as a base because that's a very powerful history book that we have from each other, all right? So now, when God said he's going to make men, let us make man. That's what he said at first. Now, we are extensions of source, right? Because the only energy in the world that existed at the time was source energy. So we are made up out of that energy, right? And that energy is not the image of God. It's a part of God, a part of the Creator. Now, what was created in us, okay, that is the image of God, is the spirit. That spirit inside of you is, that's the image of God. That's the image of the Creator, your spiritual self, what they call the unseen. So you have to believe in the unseen because you can't see the spirit. Well, some of us can, you know, most of us can't see the spirit with the naked eye, but you can. After I get done with explaining what the spirit is, going through that, then we'll talk about how you can see this spiritual entity that's inside of each and every living thing on the planet, okay? Now, when God created you in his image, that's the conscious energy. That's that Christ energy, which is conscious. So the Christ conscious energy is a part of you and part of what you are. Okay. Now, the dark and the Star Trek, they call it subspace. You know, and yeah, excuse me for a minute. I had to pause because we got some gunshots going on right outside my door here. Not outside my door, but across the little street, which is very unusual at around here, you know. And I have a couple children living inside of it, so it just made me think about them. But anyway, let's just go to show you where we live at in this culture that we're living in, okay? Like, I sit in my house and I hear gunshots. You know, somebody's out there fighting each other. So, you know, but anyway, I mean to get thrown off the subject here. This conscious energy, it flows to everything in the universe. They call it dark matter. You know, that's what they call it. I'm talking about the European scientists or the scientists of this culture. They call it dark matter. They can't see it. They can't touch it. They don't know what to do with it. They can't activate it or anything, but they know it's there, all right? Now, this dark matter flows through everything in the universe, and, you know, it touches every atom, every molecule in your body, and it rubs against these molecules and atoms that's in the body, and when something rubs up against something, it gives off an energy. It's like friction. Friction gives off heat, light, so when you rub your hands together, okay, it gives off energy, heat. This heat shows up in the body as an aura. This is where your aura actually comes from. Now, we don't talk about the Kundalini right now, but this is where your aura actually comes from. And from this aura, there's points in the body that collect this energy, this light, and they're called chakras. Now, to release the energy in towards a certain area or for a particular thing, because this energy has properties in it that can help people, help you bring to you what you're trying to bring to you, you know. This is done through prayer. That's why prayer is so important. Some people pray all day, which is good, because, you know, when they say when the cup is full, you can't put no more in it. So by praying all the time, you're constantly emptying your chakras so that they can fill up again so that you can release this energy. Four different things, okay? And that's the difference between meditation and prayer. Meditation focuses the aura so that the synaptic nerve can receive information coming in from the mind. Prayer is what you use to release the conscious energy that's stored up in your chakras. I'm just laying it down so you can hear this stuff, you know, because you don't get this information from anywhere, and you have different thought processes about everything, right? But nowhere have I read or heard that they talk about where the aura in the body actually comes from. And some people say we have chakras in every atom, which is that has a reality to it as well, because this energy is being collected on an atomic level, and it's shifted into your chakras, which is up front, okay, which is more of a larger gathering of this energy than not, okay. So you have it's a lot to take in, it's a lot to think about, because based on the way that they have been telling you about about prayer and about energy, you know, it's hard to get a good concept as to which one is what is what and which is which. Excuse me, Alex, I'm a little tired today. But there is a difference between meditation and prayer. The question was asked of me last week. So this is why we're actually doing this topic out of, because I thought it was a very interesting question, because people don't get it. See, that was a conscious question. I like conscious questions, see? And because conscious questions, you have to really stop and think about it, you know? You have to, because of the programming and the mind control that they have us under, we're not used to conscious questions. We're used to unconscious questions. So when you think in terms of meditation, you're thinking in terms of focusing the oracle so that the information coming in from mind into the brain, that's right, the two separate entities, coming in from the mind to the brain, it doesn't overload the synaptic nerve, and it comes in as a form of energy, all right? So that's what meditation is for. Prayer is to release the energy that's built up in your chakras. And the more energy you release, like they talk about the cup being full, the more energy you will get, you will draw in. And it's amazing what this energy coming into your chakras as it begins to flow, and how much energy you'll have during the day to get up and do things and to move around and things of that nature, you know. So when somebody asks you to pray for them, basically what they're asking you to do is to release the energy in your chakras in their favor so that they can have help and more energy in what they're trying to do, because they might not have enough energy to do what they're trying to do for the day. So when you pray for them, it actually enhances what they're trying to do. These are some of the things, you know, people pray, but they're praying to a particular outside entity to help them. You follow what I'm saying? But you can actually pray for people, you know? And like I said in Psalms 82, we're all gods. You can pray for the gods that are living on the planet to send that energy to you to help you out. If you notice, most of the larger groups, when they ask you to pray, they're asking you to pray for what's in their group. That enhances their group. I remember when I was in the nation, they used to say the ritual prayer. You know, we say, oh, Allah bless Muhammad and the followers of Muhammad. So all our prayers are going to Muhammad to enhance what he's doing. These guys are smart. They understand how the energy works and how the energy flows. So you need to, if you have children, pray for your children, you know. Send that energy to your children and help them along the way, help them things that they need. Pray for your wife. Pray for the people around you, you know. You go to some churches, they pray for like 5 or 6 minutes at a time. And thank you, Father God, for this and for that and for my family and for this. Or they're sending that energy out to the people that they care about, you know. And a lot of us, when we go into church, we don't understand quite what they're doing. Most of them don't understand what they're doing either. But they, in their mind, they're praying for Jesus or praying for Muhammad or praying for somebody else to help their children or family with the problems that they have, not realizing that it's their own energy that's going into that particular problem to help them solve what's going on. You know what I'm saying? Now, when you pray to Christ, it's a little different because Christ is, I know it's going to hit some people a little strange here, you know, but Christ is a title that you achieve through your sojourn in the physical realm. I'm just telling you straight up. And it's a title that you get when you begin to master the energy that's flowing in you coming from the cosmos. I mean, you got so much power flowing through you that's absolutely amazing. And sometimes it takes, because of the blockage that's put in your mind, the blockage that you have, sometimes it takes a lifetime just to undo the blocks, the mental blocks that's been put on you so you can activate some of this power, you know? But you do have power. You're carrying power. You're carrying enormous power. And the more you get together, the more power that you have as a group. The unity or the success of the 1% is actually, the success of the 99% is actually unity. Because the more they come together with the same thought process, sending that energy, sending their prayers into the same focal point, it enhances whatever group or whatever they're doing. That's why all over the planet, if you follow what I'm saying, they dissenting voices. For those people that are in charge or running the country or running whatever they're running, the dissenting voice they try to squash. So they don't want that energy. See what I'm saying? They don't want that energy coming towards them because it's a mental energy battle. Thought travels at 24 billion miles per second. That means you can measure it, and it has weight. That means that if you have five people praying against one person, the five people will mentally win out because they have more mental power directed at the person, you know? And now, I don't know if the size of a person's brain has anything to do with this, but I think it's coming through the chakras. It has nothing to do with the size of a person's brain. It's how much prayer you've been doing and how much energy you've been releasing through your chakras to do things, you know? Sometimes it's not always prayer, just your thoughts alone are coming at a particular person for a particular thing will enhance what they're doing. That's why all of the leaders of the spiritual groups want you to pray for them. Buddha bless you, Buddha this, Buddha that. They want you to pray towards what they're focused on. And this focuses your attention towards what they're doing, and your energy, your prayers go towards them, which enhances their group and their well-being. I'm just telling you how it works. Don't get mad at me. I'm just telling you how it works, okay? So you're actually carrying power. You don't have to be a religious person. Well, see, that word religion, they got to throw it off of that because they give us these words, put these crazy definitions in the dictionary. And when we go to reflect on the word, we're reflecting what's in the dictionary. And the dictionary is designed mostly to keep you asleep. The dictionary is not designed to wake you up. When you look at the word black, sullen, gloom, dismal, mad, you know, negative. See what I'm saying? That's not what black is. Black is the color of carbon, which is all life is based on carbon. So it's just a spin on what they're doing to keep your mind locked out of what's going on in reference to what's happening in the dictionary. Religion actually means to realign yourself with source energy. That's what religion is, okay? Realigning yourself with source energy. I have to say that again because I know you didn't hear that. That's what religion is. It has nothing to do with Buddha or Jesus or anybody else as far as religion is concerned. Okay. Now, somebody asked me, said, well, you're a Christian? No, I'm not a Christian, but I like the teachings of Yahshua ben Bader, whom you call Jesus. I like his teachings. So I follow his teachings, but how can I be a Christian when these people have murdered, killed, robbed, stole, doing everything under the sun towards my group or my well, not only to my group, but to themselves, to everybody. These guys are robbing and stealing from everybody all over the planet. You know, slavery, torture. I mean, this is going on right now today under the name of Christianity. KKK, they're Christians. This is what I'm saying. So how can I be a Christian? See what I'm saying? But when you read and study what Yahshua ben Bedera talked about or what they say he talked about, because we know he didn't write none of that stuff in the book. So this is what they say he said, all right? Now, but the thing that they said he said and the things that he done, I thought was pretty profound. And it has nothing to do with Christianity at all. See what I'm saying? A lot of things that Muhammad went through, it has nothing to do with Islam at all, you know. But they're using particular people to foster the power that's in you to go towards them, to enhance whatever they're doing. Is that you got, what? 40 to 50 different Muslim groups out there. You got 4,000 different Christian groups. It's very interesting. So you got these many different groups, and the groups are at odds with each other, fighting each other, you know? One group don't get along with the next group, and each group is trying to keep their members from going to the other members. And it's a madhouse out here, you know? And none of the people that they're talking about actually talk about what they're doing. They didn't push what these people are doing right now in their name. They didn't push this stuff. You follow what I'm saying? Now, I don't have my, normally I have my printout of the commercials and all that. I don't have the printout. So I was hoping a couple people called in that I do talk about, you know, I see one person on the line now. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to open up the mic to Legacy of a Nation. and give him an opportunity to talk about his show that comes on Saturday. Those of you on the line, thank you very much. Normally when I ask the question, I answer the question, and so that's why a lot of people just don't chime in, because they sort of agree or appreciate the questions that I'm asking, and I think that's pretty good, okay? So we do have Legacy of a Nation on the line, so I'm going to open up this mic right now. There's been improvement in the thing, too, so when you dial one, I don't have to scroll down. Uh-oh. Okay, there you go. I don't have to scroll down because whoever's pressed one, their number jumps to the front. So that's an improvement for Blog Talk Radio, and I appreciate that. So I don't have to scroll no more. So if you press one, I can get you right away, and I'll know that it's you, even though I don't have to scroll down through all those numbers. Brother Mac, yes, sir, 1927, you're on the air. How you feel today, brother?
Good evening, Brother Elohim. Good evening, sir. So it's good to know that you are there for us, bringing us enlightenment, and also causing a great amount of confusion, in that you are teaching us that what we already know may not actually be. may not actually be the real thing or what was intended by the writers and the prophet. When you speak of chakra. I'm not really sure what is meant by the term chakra, and when you say that you are a proponent of the teaching of Yeshua ben Yosef,
Pandera,
but you're not a Christian. That could be confusing, because we have been taught in Christianity that Jesus was the Christ, and we've even come to equate Jesus, God, and Christ as being all the same being, and when you point out that you you like and follow the teachings of Yeshua ben Yosef, are we talking about the man that was known that we know as Jesus from the New Testament Bible, and could you expound on that a little bit? Because I may not be the only one who is confused or does not understand that Jesus and Christ are not necessarily the same thing, not necessarily the same entity.
Well, see, this is where the confusion comes in, because they're teaching Christ as a last name, and Christ is
yeah.
not a last name. So, Christ is a title that you achieve when you begin to master the Christ that's in you, because the conscious energy in us, that's the Christ. So, yes, Jesus was a Christ, but we're all Christ, see? And this, because of the conscious energy that in us, is Christ's energy. That is the Christ. And this is where the confusion comes in, because they have named Yahshua ben Pandera. You said, but according to my sources, it's Yahshua ben Pandera. They have a Pandera temple. He has a prominent family. You can research Yahshua ben Pandera. I don't know if you've researched. Have you researched Yahshua ben Yosef? Maybe I got the name wrong.
I think in Hebrew, the term Ben refers to son of, and Jesus was biblically the son of Mary and Yosef or Joseph.
Well, his family's name was Pandera. Yahshua Ben.
Okay. All right.
Now, Jesus and Mary, that's their first name, but they have a family name coming after that, you know?
Indeed. Yes.
What they're leaving out of the books so that you can't trace his lineage. You can't go back and actually find the person, which keeps us focused on this little fake guy that got strung up on the cross. This little blind
right.
and blue guy. That's not the guy, you know? And if you
yes,
research Jesus Christ, you won't go back no further than Constantine, because that's when the last name Christ was attached to Jesus during the time of Constantine. But that wasn't his name, and that's not his family. His family is all the way back through Egypt. They have temples and everything else, because he comes from a very prominent family. Once you begin to research his history, as far as Yahshua ben Pandera, I don't think Yusuf, I don't know, I'm not familiar with Ben Yusuf.
This is just another illustration of how confused we are, because we have come to accept certain terminologies as being true and irrefutable, and even to question it to be sinful. And you're coming with a point of view that has a tendency to cause even more confusion, because you're presenting perhaps a third view that encompasses the other two, but is different from both of them. I think a lot of us find it confusing to have to unlearn something that we were born into and nurtured into, and then to find out that that's really not where it's at, so to speak. I can't help but wonder if sometimes it's easier to learn something brand new than it is to unlearn something that you already know, in order to be able to embrace a new concept or new information.
Well, you're absolutely right. This is why in the books it's written that you must become as a child again, because a child is very teachable. Whereas old folks who set in their ways, you know, the old dog, new tricks story. But a child is very teachable. So we have to become like children in order to accept new information or different information, different points of views without dismissing them out of hand, just shutting them down because somebody has told you this. And you've been functioning under this all your life, and that's what's going on with the entire planet right now. They have indoctrinated us with stories that are actually put us to sleep rather than wake us up. And that's the purpose of this show, is to wake you up and give you information that will lock you back into your power base. And your power base is the conscious energy coming through your spirit. That's your power base. And this meat suit that we run it around in is not the image of God. See? So once they get you locked into the meat suit as being some type of image of God, then everybody is putting their image up there as the God. You know? The white folks, they got a white God. The Buddhists, they got a Chinese God. Black folks, they got a black God. Mm-hmm. So it's whatever your phenotype is, once they lock you into that physical aspect of being the image of God, then Well, naturally, everybody wants guys that look like them. So you can't be mad at people for wanting a guy that look like them. But the true image of God is the spirit. This is why they say believe in the unseen. Because most of us, that's why I reiterated earlier, most of us can't see auras, but you can learn how to see auras. That was something else that I wanted to talk about, too. But I sorted the question that you asked me when I went into the Yahshua member there and in that history. But you had asked a question, and now the question escapes me. I wanted to get back to that question. Do you remember the actual question that you asked?
Well, one was in the process of taking in the new information that has to be superimposed on what we have already been taught. Do you realize or can you speak on the difficulty of you did because you mentioned the metaphor of teaching an old dog new tricks. It's more difficult to teach an old dog new tricks than it is to take a puppy and teach him a trick. For him, everything is new, and he doesn't have to suppress what he already knows or what he has already been taught, because it's like writing on a clean slate. There's nothing to keep the information from being accepted and absorbed. But here we are with the New Testament and several decades. Several hundred years of being taught that that Christ is the name of Yeshua, and then when you point out that no, Christ is a title. So it is somewhat confusing to those of us who have declared out loud and to the universe that we are believers in what has been taught us. We accept it and don't question it. And are in many cases are prepared to die defending it, and have pledged to spread the word as it has been given us, and what do we do, and how difficult do you see the job that you have to do to tackle something that is cast in stone and even iron metaphorically, and you've got to melt it down and give it back in a form that can be accepted perhaps over time.
Well, a while ago, an old sage once told me, maybe I shouldn't call him a sage, but he was a very wise person, and I think this was close to 40, maybe 50-something years ago, and he told me, he said, there's going to come a time that you're not going to be able to change certain people. You just have to wait until they die off. Some people are never going to change their ways. So you don't get mad at a person for not changing their ways. The only person that you can change or expect to change is yourself. So you go through life changing, upgrading yourself into the knowledge of what's going on in the books and everything. And a lot of times, people around you, when they see you change, that will change you. Because sometimes seeing is believing, you know? Yeah. And you can tell a person the same 100 times, but if they don't see it, a lot of times it won't click in. It won't make a difference to them. So we have to stop trying to push people to change, but just change yourself. Grow into the knowledge that you're getting. And the knowledge that we're dropping right now is how you have power, how you can use this power, how you can generate this power to help other people. Because Bob studied about chakras and all that, but nobody's telling me how to focus this energy, where this, what this energy actually is, and what this energy actually does, and how to release this energy. You know, most of our religious groups, they do a lot of praying. And a lot of times you might wonder, why do they pray so much? And by understanding that they're releasing this Christ energy that's in the chakras, that's building up through the dark matter flowing through them, creating this energy in the first place, which we call an aura, which goes up in the chakra. And through prayer, they can release it into any direction that they want for anybody to help anybody. So this gives you a way to activate and to use the power that you have. And the more prayer you're doing, the better it is for you. With the cup being full, you can't put no more into it. So you empty the cup by prayer and get this energy up. But right now, we only got 8 minutes. So I'm going to stop right now for a second. And I'm going to give information about the show. And then you can give information about your show on Saturday. This is the Elohim Speaks Sunday. We're here every Sunday from 8 to 9 p.m. And we talk about a myriad of things just based on what people call me and what they say they want to talk about, you know. And the last week I was called and somebody asked me, what was the difference between prayer and meditation? So I devoted this show. This was designed to be a Black History Hour. But the difference between prayer and meditation is almost never talked about. And that was a very conscious question that the person asked. So that's why I decided to make this show about prayer and meditation. The call-in number for the show is 516-453-9230. I have resigned, so you call in. If you want to make a comment or statement, just press 1. That will let me know that you have a statement or something that you want to say, and we'll be able to I'll open up your mic and you can dialogue. If you just want to give a shout out or whatever, and when you call, we use the last 4 digits of your number just in case you don't want everybody to know who everybody wants your number on the airwaves, okay? And some people don't want their name mentioned either, so this is what we do, okay? Now, I don't have the other commercial information here with me. Like I said, it's been a long, long day. So what I'm going to do, Brother Mac, why don't you go ahead and talk about your show. Let me see if a nation comes on Saturday and give us a little tidbit about what's going on. We're running out of time here. We're at the last minute. Great, brother.
All right, Brother Elaine, thank you. Legacy of a Nation comes on every Saturday, regardless of the weather or political conditions. We're on from 6 p.m. until 7 p.m. Every Saturday, and that's 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Legacy of a Nation has the mission to increase the awareness of the Aboriginal community. And we refer to the Aboriginal community as being us, we descendants of slaves, we who are descended from the slaves in the Americas. Right. We contend that, yes, we were descendants of slaves, but we are not Africans who were brought here on slave ships. We are indigenous, native Aborigines who were already here and were enslaved and told that we were all brought from Africa, thereby depriving us of our legacy and the land of our fathers. And so when we come, we provide a platform, Legacy of a Nation does, that allows us to talk with each other uninhibited, we can say what we want to say and ask questions that couldn't be asked anyplace else. And so the telephone number is 319-527-6199, and that's every Saturday from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. That's Legacy of a Nation. We invite you to come and listen and to contribute, because we exchange knowledge. We're learning about ourselves, and in the process of talking about ourselves with ourselves, we learn who we are, where we came from, and how we got to be the way that we are, the way that we are today. Thank you so much, Brother Elohim.
Thank you very much, Brother Mac. I appreciate you calling every Sunday. Now, yesterday, I wasn't able to connect with your show, because once a month, and this is a good idea for those of you who have families, we have a family birthday party for whoever's born in that month. You know, like last month, there were 6 people born in that month in the family. So we had a birthday gathering for all of those 6 people. And this keeps us from doing the wedding and the funeral thing where we don't get to see each other. But now every month we the birthday party. So it's a good idea. That's why that's where I was at yesterday. I want to connect to your show yesterday. So, and also, I'm just going to mention a couple of things here. We have a new, those of you who are in Philadelphia, we have a new division that's just starting up, Division 139 out of West Philadelphia. So if you want to find any more information, it's about Marcus Garvey. The United ACL is still around after 100 years. They're still out here trying to wake up the black community to what's going on politically. It's a political group. And the call-in number for that particular group is 215-977-0777, okay? And also, I want to mention Sister Tammy Spoken Word. She's on YouTube, so you can go check her out. And Sister Tahira, I don't have her call-in numbers, and I'm saying that I scrolled down. I don't see her number on that online. So next week I'll have everything with me. But it's been, like I said, it's been a long, long week. Man, I only got a couple minutes left. But the topic for today was black history, and 90% of all the inventions in the black community, that this country enjoys, came out of the black community. And you need to go on YouTube or wherever you can and find out more about these inventions and some of the our great historians have laid down a foundation for these to research these inventions. You know, J.E. Rogers was one of them. He was pretty good. He listed a whole lot. I think 101 inventions by the black community is a good place to start. You know, if you haven't been in tune to what's been going on in the black community, because the children need to know what their ancestors have been up to and the contributions that was being made by the black community here in here in North America, okay? So, with that being said, the topic for today was the difference between prayer and meditation, okay? Meditation focuses the energy so that the oracle, which is the dimension between the mind and the brain, you can repair the oracle with focused meditation. And that's what meditation does. Meditation helps the oracle in reference to regulate how much energy is coming into the synaptic nerves to go into the brain. Communicating from the mind and the brain are two different entities, okay? The mind, I think I'm about 90 seconds here, so I'm trying to make this quick. The brain is attached to the physical, and the mind is attached to the spiritual, which is attached to the entire cosmos. So all the information out there, past, present, and future, can flow through you. This is what the oracle is for, to make sure that your brain is not overloaded from a child all the way up, okay? And a prayer, you have energy that builds up in your chakras. And how do you release this energy out of your chakras is done through prayer. You can focus this energy towards whoever or whatever you want, okay? Now, I went into the whole thing as to how this energy came into existence and how your chakras are picking them up, but that was early in the show. So we've already got a few minutes left. I want to thank everybody, a few seconds. I want to thank everybody for calling in, especially Brother Mac. He calls in every Sunday. I appreciate his support. And this is Elohim Speaks Sunday, and we will have a Marcus Garvey Hour coming up soon. So with that, I want to say I love you, thank you, and boo, we'll talk again next Sunday.
Peace, my brother. Be peace.